Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Welcome in, my friends. It is time for the Eric Zane Show podcast. A daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. God, look at that hair. It's like, I so need a haircut. It's out of control. My God. Impact Power Sports in beautiful Rockford, Michigan, along 14 Mile Road. Don't hesitate to check them out. ImpactPowerSportsMI.com for the finest selection of motorcycles. ATVs, UTVs, side-by-side. Some of those may be the same thing. Zero-turn radius lawnmowers. Golf carts. They sell Yamaha golf carts. And, of course, service after the sale. Off we go. They are fantastic. The way this boiled down today, typically I would get this show started much earlier. Nick writes, I don't think you can call it a nap before noon. Yeah, fair enough. I think more of like went back to bed after the radio show on Q100. That's what I think happened. Wowzers. Sometimes you need that. You ever like, you're just like, I'm just going to cut and run for a period of time. Just regroup. I had a very productive first part of the day, as usual. It was flawless. But, you know, when your motor runs as high as mine does, sometimes you're destined to need that little recharge. Because, frankly, if I had, the way I felt, if I had decided to get in here and limp my way through it, I don't know. It probably wouldn't have been that great. It's not going to be that great now. It's never great. But so I'm just like, yeah. I'm not too comfortable feeling the way I do, trying to pull off what I usually pull off on a regular basis. Chris writes, we rose hell last night on Patreon, so I can see why you're tired. Yeah, that was kind of like a wild bit of hilarity that took place. The only reason why I mean, we always have fun, but I heard from numerous people that were like, oh my God. Let's see. Justin wrote, LOL, I was laughing so hard I had tears. The impression you do is spot on. Linda says the clown face impressions took it out of you. Our dear Maureen was kind of like in the crosshairs. That's all I'll say. You really need to go to Patreon and check that out. We were adding some levity. We also went down the Oxford Dictionary rabbit hole when me, who's like a 10-year-old, figured out that on the Oxford Dictionary, you can type a word and it will say it for you. So we're trying to come up with nasty words like cocksucker for it to say. Amanda writes, oh my God, the dictionary rabbit hole last night. I'm laughing so hard I'm choking. The clip about Maureen. And then she writes, ha, 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 ha. Later on, she wrote, I just got to the end, all caps. And then Amanda wrote her words, oh my God, my pussy fell off. I'm telling you, that's why she's a legend. She'll write things like that on there. But I think I used the wrong voice right there when I was reading that message from Amanda. Hey, I just got to the end. Oh my God. Hey, my pussy fell off. I'm getting references here on the chat. A lot of people saying, what happened? Apparently there was a problem with the stream. And then it came back. I only know that because people type, what's going on? What happened? Holy shit. Fucking A, I don't know. As long as it's back, right? Okay, so we had a hell of a time last night. And it was a lot of fun. You must go to patreon.com/Eric Zane if you want to check it out. We started with Who Are These Zanes? Which was great. And then we went into the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. We had a lot of fun. Chris says also discussing Ben's Bomity podcast. In case you don't know, Ben got a wild hair recently and decided that he wanted to do his own podcast. And so he did. And he recorded a one-hour podcast called Bomity. And the idea was, from his perspective, life as a comedy, as a comic who's, I don't know why he called it bomedy. Ben doesn't bomb, right? Well, anyway, this was some of his, I guess, descriptors of, or descriptions of what it would be like being a struggling comic doing open mic work. His what he's seen, what he's heard, what he's witnessed as an open mic comic struggling to find his way, which that sounds interesting to me. So Ben recorded it and then he sent it my way. And it's one of the worst things I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean, from everybody else's perspective, they would want to hang themselves. But from our perspective, it's hysterical. Ben has, while he's improved in his ability to present, where he struggles is what he's, he's not filtering out of his brain. He kind of talks and then goes in these odd tangents that, like, for example, he wanted to give a description of how he got into comedy. Now, there's a lot of things he could do that would make this a better bit of storytelling. I don't know what you could take one of many paths, but the one path you shouldn't take is the long one with all these superfluous fucking details just going on and on and on and on and on. Holy shit. And we've gotten very good on the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. When someone's starting to take the long way, there's that song by Supertramp, Take the Long Way Home. And we're always like, oh God, here we go. Someone's taking a long way. Well, that's Ben. Taking a step further. The multi-talented Maureen. She does that too. But she also doesn't really have the ability to read the room. You know, I mean, if you go back and listen to that show, there's a segment we do called The Final Word. what was all light and silly, Maureen just, oh my God, left us nowhere to go. And just, she took the plane and you know, nosedived it right into the earth. It was Shanksville all over again. It was the Eric Zane Show podcast, Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, Shanksville moment. And I'm just looking at her while she's describing these things. And I go, I'm like, where the fuck do I go now? What do I do? Just go, ah, well, thanks a lot. Thanks for your final word. Let's move on. So I'm like, well, yeah, I gotta kind of go with this. I need to respond appropriately. And I didn't like beat her up, but it resulted in a series of impressions from more than one person that led everybody laughing, had everybody laughing. Maureen was even laughing her ass off. Maureen has a very good sense of humor. I'll say that. I don't want to sit there and just rip her a new one. But, oh, and she laughed and we all laughed. And then Jeremy adds, and you notice I'm not giving you all the details because you have to listen to it. Jeremy wrote, and she tried to say that what she was saying was good news. And, okay, it was. But it just got to be hysterical. Chris and I started picking on her. And then we all started picking on her, and it was something. We also talked on the show about there was some dramatics that happened on this show yesterday, and I ignored it. I was like, oh God, I don't want to get involved. But there was a brawl between Kenny and Corey. And I talked about that on the Patreon and gave you my opinion. Well, it wasn't really even an opinion. It was just how I was reacting to it. I didn't really have an opinion on it one way or another. But Kenny actually reached out to me today. He did say when he reached out that I've been trying to not let things like that get under my skin. And yeah, I get that. Hey, don't even worry about it. No big deal. No big deal. Evram writes that he laughed at Jimmy's joke during the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. He would be a very good comedian. I agree with that. You know, when he told the joke about the turtle, and you're going to like the joke because it was a good joke. We all laughed at it. The thing is, Jimmy doesn't know. He feels uncomfortable getting into the joke and getting out of the joke, which I think is just a small little thing. I mean, it's something that you got to figure out. You got to work on your delivery and things like that. But the joke itself, the hard work is done. You wrote a decent joke. You're already a million times better than Ben. Jimmy told two jokes. One was not a joke. The first one was a joke about the turtle. The second one, not a joke. We decided we must do... So Jimmy's been writing fucking jokes. We're going to go on the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast and drop in with Jimmy's Joke Corner. He tried telling a third one, and I said, I told you the joke corner is closed. We're done with the joke corner. No more jokes. All right. I want to get into that boxer. We talked about it yesterday. And when the reporting of the story went down, they didn't do a great job in describing the gender issue. All we know is that the boxer from Algeria that beat up the Italian chick, well, hit her one time in the face and she's like, too much, I can't do it. we're like, what's going on there? And we were under the impression, based on the way it was described, it said, oh, yeah, she's got an extra chromosome or something like that. And we're like, what's going on here, huh? A lot of people were going down the road, including me, like, oh, well, she's got a penis. She looks quite dudish, no doubt about it. But I guess that is not the case. So I wanted to clarify that and then talk about it further because the story is still kind of being talked about quite a bit. That boxer from Algeria, I think, let me just get to the story because I don't want to fuck it up. Imain Khalef is living with DSD. Now, that used to have another term. DSD stands for differences of sex development. It's a condition. That's what that athlete has. Imain Khalef is not biological male or transgender. When Imain Khalef was born, the doctor took one look at the privates, like the way it always is, and said, congrats, you got a baby girl. This makes this a lot more complex, in my opinion. So that needs to be clear because that I think makes this a little bit more of an issue, a little bit more murky. Yesterday, when we talked about this, we discussed it as, okay, yeah, Imain Khalef was born a dude and is now a woman and boxing. That is not what's happened here. Imain Khalef was born. And everybody said, okay, this is a chick. But because after they observed the infant's genitalia. However, over time, they learned that the she or he, whatever you want to say, I guess it would be she, sorry, has this DSD, differences of sex development. And that used to be known as something else, but it's not known as that now. Jackie Green. Remember Jackie Green? Beauty queen Jackie Green? Jackie used to describe herself as intersex. And I don't know if she uses that terminology anymore, but that's what this boxer used to be known as, intersex, because it says she appears to have a condition known as differences of sex development, DSD, previously termed as intersex. Labeling individuals with DSD as a biological male or a biological female can be misleading and problematic as it oversimplifies their identity. I'm just going to read some of the key points in addition to what I just focused on. The fallout has been swift and intense. International Olympic Committee let Khalef compete. I wish I could hear how it was pronounced so that I could stick with one. Many say that the situation compromises the fairness of women's sports, fueling widespread outrage. Jackie Green used to compete in college athletics. I don't know if it would be, it probably wouldn't be an issue, obviously, because it's, you know, small college cross country. But similarly, I guess maybe each individual is different, but in this particular case, it still appears like the Algerian boxer Imain Khalef still would have had an advantage. And that is because of hormones, testosterone. So you're getting outwardly looks like a chick in the terms of the genitalia. And in the case of Jackie Green, beauty queen, you would never be able to know that Jackie would be living with DSD or intersex, depending on what she refers to it. This is all kind of new material for people. But Jackie obviously looks like, you know, the prettiest of the pretty woman by our standards. This boxer does have dude-like qualities, as you can see. I mean, that's a dude-ish-looking face. Still, I don't think this changes anything, though, and here's why. Khalif's biological profile presents a nuanced situation. Born female, identifying as a woman, DSD. This condition would explain the XY chromosomes, because she was tested. And they said, well, you have XY chromosomes, which means you have the genetic makeup of a dude. Thus, you cannot compete. Also, I think this is the key. Testosterone levels of a person with XY. And testosterone is rocket fuel for strength, muscles, I guess maybe mood, ability to be more aggressive. This is not coming from an expert's opinion. It's just what I'm saying. Traits typically associated with male athletes, the article goes on to say from Business Insider. These elevated testosterone levels also led to her failing a gender eligibility test and getting disqualified at the 2023 World Boxing Championships. However, it's important to note that Emain has not publicly confirmed having a DSD, differences of sex development. DSD can cause the discrepancy between an individual's chromosomes and their physical characteristics, sometimes resulting in ambiguous genitalia and other variations in sexual development. But so it's kind of like you're in limbo. Like you might have a crank that has a vagina on the tip of it. Can you imagine that? No, I don't think that that's the case. I mean, but let's stop there. If there was a person that existed who had a crank with a vagina on the end of it, I mean, there's a lot. When someone says, hey, go fuck yourself, you'd be like, well, what? Huh? If someone announced that they had a crank with a vagina on the end of it, I would absolutely pay good money to see it. I'll be honest with you. The term intersex was once used for such conditions. Differences of sex development is now preferred to avoid the negative connotations of the disorder. So basically, you know how it is. A lot of times terms change, especially when they're... Because intersex, no one had ever heard of that. The first person I had the first time I had ever heard that described was beauty queen Jackie Green. She should probably weigh in on this. I don't even know what she's doing anymore. I think she may be on the radio. Given the complexities, labeling someone with DSD as a biological or male can be problematic. It oversimplifies their identity and can perpetuate stigma. Yada, yada. You know how it is these days. You can't, like, give anybody a term, and if they change it on you, you're like, oh, and you don't know, then you're, like, canceled. Like, if someone right now said, oh, yeah, that boxer, she's intersex. If someone wrote that right now, as harmless as that seems, they'd probably be murdered. You can't ever just, you know, there needed to have been like an announcement that that term was changed. We hadn't even gotten used to that term and they changed it on us. Okay, so now what? Does an intersex, see, there I go. Does a person who is has or is DSD, should they be allowed to compete? Does it make what happened more complex? How do you feel now? Because, I mean, if I go back to beauty queen Jackie Greene, that would be the same thing as this athlete taking on women, I should say other women, and everybody having a fuss, including me, but that was before I knew what I knew now. Does this change anything? For me, it does not. And it all comes back to that, the hormones. If the hormones fuel Imaim Khelef, I think that that is an unfair advantage. More muscle mass, taller, stronger, more aggressive, punches harder, hurts more. That's an unfair advantage. That is like the person who artificially takes testosterone to boost their performance. This is a naturally occurring advantage that I think that's why they tested in the first fucking place. And the other boxing organization, not the IOC, figured it out and said, yeah, all right. You're using this to your advantage. You can't. Because you're going to hurt somebody. You're much...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
More powerful. I mean, your skill levels are comparable. But if she's putting up her hands to block and your fist goes right through the blocking and clocks her in the face, you could fucking kill her. So it sounds fucking horrible, but for the sake of safety, go fuck yourself. No, you can't be here. Get the fuck out. Go fight against other people who are DSD. To me, nothing changes. All right? Now it's just harder. Now I'm just... My opinion is still the same. But I stand corrected because I didn't know about what was going on with that boxer. Now I know. I still have the same opinion. Fuck you. You shouldn't be fighting. You shouldn't be fighting other people. Fight starter Corey says, I think regardless if they're... I have to kind of pre-read it and see what he's trying to say because there's usually errors. It reads to me as, I think regardless if they're our hormones, they're still going to be stronger. If they used to be a guy on bone structure, etc. I'm confused. Aram says a factoid. He has a factoid for us. He writes, Andre Agassi had a naturally occurring advantage in his eyesight. He could see at 20 feet what we see at 10 feet. You know, I've heard that described about former slugger, he's now dead, Ted Williams, back in the day. Like, his eyesight was so good that not only did that help him when he was hitting a baseball, but he was a World War II pilot. And when they got him to get into the cockpit of a plane, they knew he could see like a goddamn hawk. And he was remarkably effective as a fighter pilot. Jeremy says, I think if you have XY chromosomes, you should fight against men, regardless of whether your genitalia presents as male, female, both, or neither. Yeah, I don't. Tyler says, it sounds like Kalef still has traits that are biologically advantageous and make competition amongst other females unfair, in my opinion. Okay, so the reason why this comes up is just for the specifics of the nomenclature, not transgender, because you see what's happening here. The usual suspects in our culture war that we are in right now, all this does, it everything leads back to Trump. What do I mean by that? Well, remember when I talked to you about the people in our culture now who were never heard and they just kind of stayed in the shadows? They didn't come out and say the crazy shit that they say now. Now they've been normalized because of Trump. They're using this as a way to attack people who, you know, in the world that we live in today, there's trying to be equal rights for people with who are LGBTQ plus. And so actual transgender people are, it continues to be yet another reason to say terrible things for these scumbags about transgender people. But this has nothing to do with being transgender. Not the same. In any way. I mean, I can understand why you could confuse it because most people are stupid and won't actually read when new information is presented like it was presented to me by Bleeding Heart Brian. He reached out to me. He says, ZZ, that fighter does not have a dick and balls. I'm like, what? Yeah, it's not a transgender person. I didn't know that. Yeah, it's this. And he sent me the story that I just shared with you now from Business Insider. Maze and Blue says she sounds like a mutant from X-Men with powers. Rich says she has a genetic advantage. Don't be jealous. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that with the appropriate testing to determine, yeah, you know, you may have a vagina, but you're fueled by dude hormones. So, fortunately, we can't really allow you to beat up people that have the different type of fuel. Okay? Aram said earlier that I was getting close to making another statement to clip. Tyler describes my crank with the vagina on the end of it as, quote, a pussy dick. Nick says, just show me the downstairs and it will settle everything. It won't, though, because that boxer could have said, yeah, you know what? Look at this. I've got meat tarps. And they would have been like, oh, fuck, what do we do now? Jeremy says the Italian just dropped her gloves. That's why it hurt so much. She wasn't defending her face. Jeremy got ahead of us, apparently. He wrote, I've heard her referred to as intersex. She is no more of a man than Jackie Greene is, meaning she's a woman in my view. Well, perhaps outwardly, but we're talking about a one-on-one fist fight. There may be sports that you could say, all right, but I don't think in this sport that's fair. You know? I don't think that that's fair at all. All right. So that's what's going on. There's also an Asian, I think she's Chinese, Same thing. I don't know if she's DSD, but she failed the test in the other, whatever, amateur boxing thing. And she's fighting in the Olympics, too. I haven't really been following a ton of what's going on in the Olympics, but it doesn't matter because these stories, I love these stories. I mean, it's not like anybody really gives a shit that Katie Ledecky is killing everyone and Simone Biles wins again. Yeah, whatever. All right. I haven't really, I mean, if I did take the time to watch it, I'm sure I would love it. All, I'm sure, excellent performances, but on this show, we've been following stories like this. We had the Olympic volleyball player from the Netherlands who is 29, and when he was 19, he sought out, groomed, and then raped and molested and raped a 12-year-old little girl. And the Netherlands put him in jail for less than a year, and then he got out, and they said, hey, we want you to play volleyball on the national team. And he said, okay. Aram writes, Eric, what about Floyd Mayweather? Floyd Mayweather Jr., isn't he naturally faster than everyone else? Should he be allowed to box? I'm trying to figure out the similarities. I think it's apples to oranges there. What we have on the Olympic story is a woman who's got the genetic makeup of a man fighting women. While Floyd Mayweather Jr. has the genetic makeup of a man and is fighting men. So I'm not sure what exactly you know. And then to suggest he's naturally faster, I don't know that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you know that. I know he's fast, but I don't know what brings out fast. Could that be skill? Could that be time in the gym? I don't know. Aram has confirmed that Floyd Mayweather Jr. has a naturally occurring advantage. I'm going to need to see that. I don't know where that... I don't know where you're pulling this from. Tyler says, quote, naturally faster as in just more talented, I'm assuming. That is different than hormonal differences. I think it's a little square peg round hole is what I'm getting out of that. I'm pretty sure that everybody in the chat is like, what's he doing? Huh? It just doesn't feel right. It's an odd comparison. So, my opinion is, no, you shouldn't be fighting women. DSD should not be fighting women. All right. On the Patreon bonus podcast, I should say the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast yesterday. Up north, Justin, who definitely is north of the hard living line, though I don't think he's hard living. Not everybody north of the hard living line, US 10, is living hard. But he does do hard living things, and they're not necessarily bad. I like hard living things. If you're north of the hard living line, you're probably the type to raise pigs and take them to the 4-H shows. He would admit that. 4-H teaches people north of the hard living line that they should do things like raise pigs and be farmers. You got to be cut from a certain cloth to be living north of the hard living line. You have to have a certain degree of adaptability. Well, anyway, he and his kids raise pigs, and then the pigs are shown. And I said, so what is it? What is showing a pig like? And he goes, oh, yeah, well, like my kids will, you take the pigs out, and then the judges will watch what you do. And I, because I said, are they on like a leash? He goes, no, but it's similar to like Westminster, because they're watching how the pig responds to you. I go, oh. He goes, yeah, you have like a crop. And you have to guide the pig through. But the difference is, or the thing is, you have to keep your eyes on the judge. Like, you can't take your eyes off the judge while you're guiding the pig with the crop. Oh, okay. Well, then he sent me a video. And by the way, Mason Blue says, how many strips of bacon can you make out of one pig? Yeah, by the way, probably 2-3 days after the 4-H contest, those pigs are made into food. Anyway. The chick in the red is so damn intense. I think she's like the Michael Jordan of pig showing. And all the kids are doing this. Here we go. She's getting ready. She's all fired up. Okay, now she's in it. You see that? She's got her eyes on the judge. And they're not going to leave. Uh-oh. This is the creepiest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. This is like, you know how normal people watch the Super Bowl? This, when you're north of the hard living line, this is your Super Bowl right here. This is actually porno for people north of the hard living line. Wow. That might be one of the more odd things that I've ever seen. Chris blasts out the intensity on her more than a former Zaniac with a bag of Fritos. That's the face of boring Dean outside of a preschool. Jeremy now is the second time predicting the future on the show. He writes, wasn't there a viral video not too long ago showing this pig showing things? And then I showed it. Nick goes with, looks like me guiding my 2 a.m. bar find to the bedroom. Yeah, I don't know if you're in a position to make that joke. Don't you, aren't you like happily like engaged or married? Corey goes with, that could be Patriot Nick after his white wife left him. No. That's Patriot Nick's wife. Before she had left him, looking at any other guy, looking at Rocky. Nick has now informed me that there has been a change in his status. Oh no. That was an involved thing. That seemed like a lifer for you, Nick. He says, not now. I might need Ari Zane, LOL. I'm sorry to hear that. I liked her. She had sass. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sure that's very painful, but thank you for revealing it to me. Going back to Lady getting banned, Lady Boxer and banning and winning and losing and all that shit. Jeremy says you cannot ban people for genetic advantages like height, but you can ban them for chromosomal advantages that affect the way the body builds muscle. Yeah, you can, but they chose not to, which gave that chick an unfair advantage. Not fair. Not okay. All right. God, that video is wild. More Olympic talk. The triathlon went down. It seems like 100 years ago that I used to do this. If I didn't find camping, I would still be doing triathlon. I don't know if that's true because it takes up so much time to do triathlon. I mean, the only time because I had so much extra time when I was doing triathlon because I would do the morning show and then we'd get out pretty early in the day. And then I had the whole rest of the day to do the triathlon shit. And you know, it was like 20, 25 hours a week. I don't know why I'm fucking talking about that. I mean, it doesn't matter that I did it. What I wanted to focus on was the Olympics. But it just popped in my head. They had to swim in the Seine River. I think I'm saying that right. Seine, S-E-I-N-E. I don't know, the one in Paris. And we talked about this. It's full of feces. Like, if Lake Mexico over here has one times the E. coli level in it that's safe for humans, they shut it down. Even the Mexicans don't go in it. This river in France had 10 times the feces. And from what I'm understanding, there was so much feces in it that I'm being led to believe that they were swimming and like turds were bouncing off their heads. Like full-on turds were hitting the athletes in the face. Olympic triathlete Jolene Vermeulen ripped the officials who said that they're going to put the race on. Because 2 days before the race was supposed to go down, they started swimming just under 1 mile, and then they come out of the water and they ride their bikes. 2 days before, somebody said, yeah, it's absurdly high in feces. You don't want to be swimming in that. It will make you sick. Then suddenly they go, yeah, wow, it turned around. It's like, you know, it's like fucking Torch Lake. It's unbelievable. It's so clean. Torch Lake is north of here. It's one of the cleanest lakes on the planet. All the lakes around here are fantastic. And, but that wasn't true at all. That was a goddamn lie. She's like, yeah, you know, I felt and saw things that we shouldn't think about. I felt and saw things. So that tells me she like, you know, put her hand in the water, getting ready to, you know, do another stroke. And her hand was like, you know, grabbing onto a giant pile of shit. And then she would, you know, oh my God. And then it would shoot through her fingers. An Olympic triathlete shared the disgusting experience of swimming in the Seine. And she blasted the officials who claimed that it was safe enough to swim in. It Jolianne Vermellin says she felt the debris in the water. Her words. While swimming under the bridge, I felt and saw things that we shouldn't think about too much. I wish she would have gotten more descriptive. She said she ingested a lot of water during the race and is concerned about what it will do to her. We'll know tomorrow if I'm sick or not. It doesn't taste like Coca-Cola, she said. So basically, the race is swim, bike, run, drink shit water, and squeeze piles of shit. The E. coli causes linked to fecal matter, causes diarrhea, urinary tract infections, pneumonia, and sepsis. In this image right here of them diving in at the start of the race, I wish they would have snapped it half a second later, because the splash would have been, I mean, we would have seen actual shit and brown water. Oh, my God. Now, there was even talk about canceling the swim in this race. Just make it a bike run, which is fine. Whatever. Who gives a shit? It's only 10% of the race. Because you then pedal like 25 and then you run 6.2. They spent $1.5 billion to clean up that river, and it wasn't any more clean. I don't understand how they could plan on cleaning it up. It's a river, for God's sake. You got to stop where the shit's coming in. Before the men's triathlon, this image was shot of some guy splashing the water on his face. He's getting ready. He's getting himself ready. He's actually said, all right, if you can't beat him, join him. I'm going to get some of this in my system now. And then there's, look at this image. Look at that water. My God. So bad. Chris says, since we're talking about endurance sports, how about the Grand Rapids half in October, easy? No, I haven't ran. Ever since I texted you last time, I haven't ran. I get so goddamn busy. Maze in Blue says, Lake Mexico. Are you talking about 8th Avenue? Yes. That is known as Lake Mexico because the local Mexicans go there. So I named it Lake Mexico. The Germans must have dominated the swimming portion. Chris refers to electric eels, condoms in the river. Jeremy says, imagine an athlete coming out of the water with a skid mark down their back. Linda says she took a bad time, picked a bad time to make lunch. Tyler says, I'm guessing Olympic officials will not pull a Rick Snyder and drink water from the Seine to prove its cleanliness. All right, that is Act One of the podcast. Act Two is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.